An attorney general, a fired FBI chief, White House staffers and campaign workers, all of this reminds Senator John McCain of another Washington scandal.
I think it's reaching the point where it's of Watergate size and scale.
Watergate, the break-in and cover-up that brought down a president, Richard Nixon. A key moment in that scandal came when the Supreme Court forced Nixon to release taped conversations he had held in the White House.
They should call the FBI and Senate officials of Congress. Don't go any further into this case, period.
That's Richard Nixon saying, tell the CIA to tell the FBI, don't go any further into this case, period. What was on the tapes was damning. The mystery is what was not on those tapes. Suddenly there was a click and a buzz. That gap in the recording is on my next guest's list of documents that changed the world. From the University of Washington Information School, Associate Professor Joe Janes, welcome.
Thank you.
Joe, why is 18 and a half minutes of nothing an important document?
That's a really good question. It isn't actually nothing. When I first started researching this, I thought it was. I grew up during Watergate. I would watch the hearings when I got home from junior high and high school.
Me too.
And you hear 18 and a half minute gap, and I just always assumed it was either cut out or completely erased, and it's not. It's that series of buzzes. So one of the first things I learned about this is that it's not silence. It's a buzz. But the fact that that was missing was among the many sources of suspicion that led to people wondering yet more, what more is there? What more is there? What more is there? And when that gap was revealed, it just reinforced. So many people poured all of their suspicions and doubts and fears and whatever about Nixon and the Watergate investigation and all the rest of it, poured right into that gap. And it just began to take on a life of its own.
You take on something that I've wondered. 45 years or whatever it is later, we know how to find deleted files on a hard drive. Could we recover that tape, that recording today if we wanted to?
They are still trying. The most recent serious investigation was a few years ago. The physical tape still exists, and the investigation at the time really set the standard for forensic audio investigation still today about magnetic tape. What you heard is a digital recording, a digital version of the recording. The actual physical recording still exists. They tried, I think, in 2009 one more time to use more advanced technique. They know that human speech was there. They know it's actually several buzzes. Apparently the machine that made the over recording was plugged into different electrical outlets, and every electrical outlet has its own signature. I never knew that. So there's changes in the buzzes as a result of that. They know there was speech there. They know it was erased. They know the machine it was used, but they still are unable to recover what's underneath that.
What do we know about, you said somebody erased it purposely, right? What do we know about how that happened?
Not very much. People of a certain age remember Rose Mary Woods, who was Nixon's secretary, and she was transcribing tapes. She was the one who discovered the gap, and she copped to about the first 4 minutes of it, because there's this famous picture of her reaching across her desk with her foot on the pedal of the recorder and reaching for the phone, and she thought maybe she had left the pedal down and that might have over-recorded as she was answering a phone call. She says only 4 minutes. There's 18 and a half minutes, 18 minutes and 31 seconds to be precise. And there are people who think they know that it was White House lawyers who came in the dark of night one night to erase it, that Alexander Haig thought Nixon might have done it himself because he was so technologically inept that he didn't know what he was doing and playing the tape back. There's lots of theories about it, but there's, other than the 4 minutes that Rosemary Woods thought she might have done and actually admitted to, nobody knows, and there apparently is no way to know, at least not yet.
So it could have been aliens.
Could have been aliens. I think it might have been Elvis, you know, that he and Nixon had a thing. Who knows?
Well, whoever erased it left enough on there to bring Nixon down. Obviously, the smoking gun tape, right? Why did Nixon have these conversations recorded to begin with?
Well, that's a very good question. He wasn't the first. FDR had a recording system in the White House. So did Kennedy. So did Johnson. You can imagine, you know, for posterity to be able to record meetings, to be able to get transcripts of conversations, to be able to get the record right, makes perfect sense. So Nixon wasn't the first. He was quite enthusiastic about it. The Oval Office was mic'd. So was the office in the Executive Office Building. Eventually, so was Camp David. Phone lines were recorded as well. But he kept all these things. There's 3,500 hours of recordings from all of these sources now in the Nixon Presidential Library. And he just did it for whatever purposes.
We're talking with University of Washington Information School Associate Professor Joe Janes, who includes that 18-and-a-half-minute recording gap on his list of documents that changed the world. We've told you about why that is. Now let's fast forward, which is what we do when we're talking about tapes. Let's fast forward to today. And, Professor, what is the Russian investigation? How does it remind you of Watergate?
Oh, my God. It's like deja vu all over again. I was watching the testimony yesterday, Attorney General Sessions' testimony yesterday, and former FBI Director Comey last week. And it was just like I was in high school again, and all the networks carried it, and it was the only thing on TV. And apparently Comey got great ratings, I read.
Mm-hmm.
So I never thought we'd be in this situation again. So far as we know, there are no recordings. Lots of people have said there aren't. The president seemed to allude to that in a tweet, which is a document of its own interest.
And then Comey said, Lordy, he hopes
so. Lordy, he hopes so, right, in that kind of folksy way he had of ingratiating himself to the American public, which seems to have worked. It's all very peculiar that we're kind of, you know, revisiting this same territory of what did the president know and when did he know it? And that was the question during Watergate. And that appears to be among the many questions that are still in play today. I did sit through the attorney general's testimony yesterday, and among other things, just to keep myself occupied, I started making a list of all the documents and documentary forms. It's a sickness of all the.
this is your passion. You're in the information school. You document documents.
If you study documents, this is what you do.
Yeah.
And they talked about letters and emails and calendars and regulations and memos and notes and all different kinds of things. And then they kept asking at the end, well, where are these rules that you say to the attorney general? These rules, where are these rules that say you can't testify about your conversations? And a real focus on where are they written down? Can you show them to me?
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, that means if they're written down, they must be real. And, you know, that's sort of the way we think about documents and documenting things.
Well, then final question, Joe, you have this podcast and a book about historical documents that change things. So what documents are you looking for today that could change the world again?
Well, I end the book with the next one. What's the next one? And, you know, it's entirely possible that the next document that makes a profound effect on human society is not created by a human.
Wow.
It could be created by a computer program, by an algorithm, by some sort of recording device that just goes on about its business and there's no human intervention in that. It could be somebody's grocery list they make this afternoon that has some pivotal role in history. You just never know. It'll be created for some reason. It'll be doing some work. It's going to have some power because we give it that power. And then, you know, weeks, months, years, decades, centuries later, we'll look back on it and think, wow, that was really important, but nobody knew it right then.
Joe Janes from the University of Washington Information School. The podcast is Documents That Changed the World. Your book is Documents That Changed the Way We Live. Professor Janes, a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
KUOW's The Record coming right back at you in a moment.